Take a journey through time and space from Paris, 30 Avenue Montaigne, to cosmopolitan New York to discover the history and heritage of Dior. Christian Dior, Designer of Dreams exhibition, opens with some of Dior's earliest haute couture creations, some of which have never been revealed to the public before. Visit the exhibition on view at the Brooklyn Museum through February 20th, 2022. Tickets are available for purchase at brooklynmuseum.org.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, September 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. It's no surprise that investing in tech startups is risky. So the investors who bet on these companies are supposed to be savvy financiers who do their research. So if a company falls apart, if its technology isn't what it claimed, is that the fault of the founder who lured investors in? Or should those backers have been more careful? That question is at the center of the criminal fraud trial of Elizabeth Holmes, the founder of defunct blood testing company Theranos. On today's show, reporter Heather Somerville, who's been covering the trial, joins us to discuss the disparate group of investors who backed Theranos and what role their backgrounds will play in the case. That's after these headlines. Facebook plans to ask its oversight board for ways the company can improve how it regulates content from high-profile users. It's an acknowledgement of the struggles the social media giant has had in this area. And it comes after revelations in the Wall Street Journal that Facebook gave special treatment to millions of well-known users through a system known as CrossCheck. Following the journal's reporting, the oversight board said it was reviewing the system. The first U.S.-EU tech trade summit starts today. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, and U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai will sit down with their European Commission counterparts in Pittsburgh. The talks are meant to address trade issues around technology, including data governance rules and securing supply chains to offset the rise of China and Russia. But our reporter Dan Michaels says some issues may be thornier than others.
It gets a lot more complicated when you get into specific regulations and how each side oversees these things. So, for example, the EU is much stricter about personal data privacy than the US. The US has more government surveillance. Microchips are another area. There's a desire to cooperate because the past year or so has shown how reliant both the US and Europe are on both China, but also friendlier places like Taiwan and South Korea. And there's a desire to develop some independence. But what that actually means isn't so clear, because US wants the US to be strong, Europe wants Europe to be strong. So figuring out how they both gain without one losing out to the other, it's a little dicey.
And Ford is making a big bet on electric vehicles. The carmaker plans to build its first new US assembly plant in decades, producing electric F-Series pickups. It will also partner with South Korean battery maker SK Innovation to build three battery factories in the U.S. Ford expects to spend $7 billion on the project, making it the biggest manufacturing investment in Ford's history. All right, coming up, was it a bad bet or a bamboozle? What investors know or should know about investing in startups takes center stage in the Theranos trial. That's after the break.
Take a journey through time and space from Paris, 30 Avenue Montaigne, to cosmopolitan New York to discover the history and heritage of Dior. Christian Dior, Designer of Dreams exhibition, opens with some of Dior's earliest haute couture creations, some of which have never been revealed to the public before. Visit the exhibition on view at the Brooklyn Museum through February 20th, 2022. Tickets are available for purchase at brooklynmuseum.org.
What do a four-star military general, a Mexican tycoon, the chair of the Wall Street Journal's parent company, and a Greek shipping heir all have in common? They all invested in defunct blood testing startup Theranos. At the heart of the trial of the company's founder, Elizabeth Holmes, is whether she hoodwinked those investors by lying about the company's technology, or if they were intelligent investors that simply made an unwise bet. Our reporter Heather Somerville has been covering the trial and looking at the diverse group of investors that backed Theranos. And she joins me now. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Zoe. How are you?
I'm good. So why is the sophistication of the investors or what they knew about the healthcare sphere important to the trial?
It is really at the heart of 7 of the 12 counts of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud that Ms. Holmes faces. And so what the prosecution is arguing in its case against Ms. Holmes is that she lied to investors, she misled them, omitted information or gave false information either in conversation, in her presentations to them when she was raising money, and through media reports, through interviews she gave to various publications. And investors used those falsehoods as the basis for their investing decision. So they were investing based on incorrect or misleading information. Now, what the defense is arguing is that, hey, these were sophisticated business people. These weren't amateurs. These weren't stock traders on the Robinhood app. These were people who had been in business and made a fortune doing it. And they knew what they were doing. They knew it was a risky bet. They knew it was nascent technology. And just because the technology didn't work out doesn't mean it was fraud.
Is there specific evidence or specific investors that they're going to point to further each of their arguments? For example, will the prosecution point to any investors in particular and say they were duped?
Yeah, absolutely. Between the defense and the prosecution's proposed witness lists, there are at least 11 Theranos investors. We've already heard from one, James Mattis, a former defense secretary who invested $85,000 in the company. But really key testimony for the prosecution is likely to come from two investors. One is Brian Grossman. He leads a hedge fund called PFM. And it's a really interesting scenario because PFM invested $96 million in Theranos. And after reading the Wall Street Journal story in 2015 that exposed the technology challenges Theranos faced, that firm hired a private investigator to look into Theranos and was really upset and worried about what it found, and later sued Theranos and recovered about $43 million in that settlement. So Brian Grossman is going to be an important investor for the prosecution to make that case that, hey, this is a sophisticated investor who runs a hedge fund, invests in healthcare sciences, and he was duped because Ms. Holmes lied so much.
And what about on the defense side? Are there investors that they might point to that back their argument?
Absolutely. There are a couple investors that the defense has said in court records it may call. And those are investors who have remained supportive of Ms. Holmes, even as she faced a criminal investigation, even through today, now that she's on trial. And in various settings, these investors have said she had conviction in technology. She believed she was going to change healthcare for the better. And because of that conviction, we invested.
Let's talk about that point a little bit, because the defense seems to be arguing that Ms. Holmes and Theranos was, you know, a well-intended startup that was trying to do something different and just failed at doing it. But I'm curious whether the investors were trying to invest in that dream of the technology or in the business model, because Theranos did say it did in fact have deals with Walgreens and other suppliers to put its testing out. So what were they investing in?
By the time 2014 and 2015 rolled around, Theranos had been in existence for more than 10 years, and there was an assumption on behalf of the investors who had joined that funding round from 2014 to 2015 that there was a real business there. And part of the reason that they made that assumption is because Theranos was proposing an elaborate nationwide retail footprint, mostly through a partnership with Walgreens that came crumbling down in 2016, and also through other retail partnerships that never came to be. And the other reason investors at the time made that assumption is because of the very rosy revenue projections that they were getting, which in fact were up to 15 times the real revenue that Theranos was taking in on an annual basis.
You know, often when you have these tech startups, you'll have investors who come in early, who understand the sector, and then who lend credibility to investors who come in later, who maybe don't know the industry as well. That doesn't seem to be what happened here, right?
You're right, Zoe, that Theranos really didn't follow the traditional playbook in terms of who it raised money from and who the company put on its board. There were some more traditional venture capitalists. Tim Draper is one of them, who came in early and gave the company money. One would expect, with a company like Theranos for Ms. Holmes to pursue investors from more pharmaceutical companies, more healthcare systems, more investors that would help the company expand and grow and develop the partnerships that it needed to become successful. But what is interesting is in a deposition with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Ms. Holmes specifies that she sought out wealthy families who had run very successful family-controlled businesses to invest in her company because she thought that they would be supportive of her endeavor to keep Theranos a private company for the long term.
So she sought out these investors. I wonder, and maybe this gets to the heart of the case, what their responsibility was. I mean, this question of due diligence, you know, shouldn't have investors have done a little more work to understand what was behind Theranos? Is that coming up at all?
That hasn't been put forth in courtroom argument yet, but I expect it will because it is a really valid question. And I think certainly in my conversations with investors and entrepreneurs about this trial, many raise that point, the responsibility of investors to do diligence and do it properly before putting money into a company, particularly where that company has a direct impact on patients and their health and their well-being. Now, it is not uncommon for investors to skimp on diligence, particularly in competitive deals. It is not uncommon for investors to invest in someone simply because they know them or they hear good things about them or another investor that they know also backed the company. But one can make the argument fairly that maybe that's not the way business should be done.
So then has what happened with Theranos changed the way investors in Silicon Valley think about making investments in companies like this?
Nope. I would say that there is some vague fear among investors in this space of being part of, quote, the next Theranos, whatever company that may be. But I would say that the glut of capital in startups right now has made diligence an afterthought at best in many cases. And I would say there have been cases of fraud, of terrible behavior, of criminal behavior in healthcare startups since Theranos. So no, I do not have any confidence that there's any greater prudence when it comes to investing in this industry.
That was our reporter, Heather Somerville. Thanks for keeping us in the loop, Heather.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Take a journey through time and space from Paris, 30 Avenue Montaigne, to cosmopolitan New York to discover the history and heritage of Dior. Christian Dior, Designer of Dreams exhibition, opens with some of Dior's earliest haute couture creations, some of which have never been revealed to the public before. Visit the exhibition on view at the Brooklyn Museum through February 20th, 2022. Tickets are available for purchase at brooklynmuseum.org.